Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's Political Commentary.
This morning with Rod Oram. Morena, Rod, how are you?
Morena, Rachel, I'm very well, and a Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you too. It's lovely to have you back on the B, and we have got some massive topics to get through this morning because it's all kicked off over the holidays. We're going to talk a little bit about Iran and the US and what's going on there, a bit about bushfires, and then also some things closer to home, including house prices. So shall we start with what's happening with this American-Iranian situation at the moment? What is actually going on? Because it does seem very sort of tense and quite scary, actually.
Yes, it does. What has been puzzling, I think, a little overnight is that after the Iranians launched some missiles into U.S. military compounds in Iraq, there appears to be no casualties. At least that's what the U.S. is saying. And therefore, this is taken as the U.S. is saying this is a sign that Iran is backing away from escalating this conflict. And indeed, it seems as though the U.S. is trying to de-escalate as well. This seems like an improbable turn of events after the past almost a week now since the assassination of by the U.S. Of the Iranian general. I do stress the word assassination because this has taken the U.S. into a very difficult territory in terms of deliberately targeting a figure like that for a killing like that in a third country, and that was a very provocative act of war. Mm-hmm. It was a step that Trump's two predecessors had refused to take, but Trump in his impetuous ways has. This is what is so concerning about the situation, is whether this is the sort of impetuous, irrational lashing out of actions that Trump is clearly very capable of, with consequences still to be unfold in ways that are potentially very, very serious and damaging.
What do you foresee, I guess, happening next? Because it does sort of seem to be, as you're saying, this kind of tense, not a stalemate, but in a weird kind of waiting moment right now.
Yes. On one hand, I would in no way underestimate the Iranians, who are very active across the Middle East with lots of client organizations and countries that also that support them find ways to attack the U.S. and its allies, and therefore we do get an escalation of these Middle East conflicts. That seems quite likely. On the other hand, the U.S. has announced yet more sanctions against Iran. Those do take a toll on the country. But again, that just hardens and steels the Iranian resolve. So greater escalation and more armed conflict, I think, is inevitable here. I'm very, very curious, and it's really crucial, as to what the domestic political response is in the U.S., because Trump has, as he does so often, has gone way beyond well-established bounds and protocols in terms, for example, of how he's dealt with Congress on this assassination. And whether this eventually starts to bring some sense to Trump's congressional supporters he is getting out of control, that would be a very notable development in U.S. domestic terms.
Well, let's turn now to Australia, because it's also a very intense situation over there with the bushfire crisis. One thing I wanted to talk to you about, Rod, is we've seen a lot of stuff in the last week or so about misinformation about the fires being spread online, particularly. Do you know much about this? What is going on in terms of how we understand what's happening with the fires in Australia?
No, I don't have a sense of that at all, and how big an issue that is, because it had seemed to me the reporting was very straightforward. There is an aspect to the fires that I find very, very disturbing, is apparently a high proportion of them being started by individuals rather than natural causes. And maybe if that is the case, that sort of disinformation is part of that very worrying response by society to what is a natural calamity, but one that's human caused. And so if Australia is descending into that kind of social dysfunction, then their problems are greater than we thought they were.
I guess one thing that has been sort of brought up a lot recently is that perhaps some of this misinformation, it seems to be from the stuff that I've been reading, a lot of it based on social media and the way that social media has been spreading the discussion around the fires. And one of those things has been a pushback from perhaps alt-right groups that have been funneling some of this about it being, again, less of a climate change related issue. What do you think, I guess, would be a useful response from perhaps leaders in that respect? Because we haven't really heard much from Scott Morrison, for example, about the climate change part of this whole conversation.
Morrison has conceded latterly that it is climate change caused and climate change related. The way he then his rationale for that, though, or how he handles that, is to say that climate change is a global issue, and therefore, with Australia's emissions are such a small part of that, there is nothing useful that Australia can do to change that climate change shift. But then he turns around and says, but we do have plans to reduce emissions anyway, which is partially true, but obviously by not nearly enough. Mm-hmm. And there is still the role of the coal industry in all this, and particularly as a very large exporter of coal. So he's trying to, you know, wiggle his way through this, and I find I'm completely fascinated as to the extent to which he survives this politically, because his leadership actually on the response issue has been very poor. Mm-hmm. He stood back and left the state organizations that are actually fighting the fires sort of under-resourced, with inadequate federal government support and coordination. And that's going to be very damaging, and I think it already is, to confidence in him. Mm. That would be the key thing that I'd be watching in terms of that domestic political response, is whether this does ultimately evict him from office. Mm-hmm. And if that does, if it in any way starts to change Australian politics so it's possible to get a more rational, a more practical response to the climate crisis.
Well, just briefly before we let you go, Rod, because those two topics I'm sure will be ones we will definitely come back to talking to you about, because I don't think they're going away in any time soon. But let's talk a little bit about what's happening in New Zealand with house prices. What is going on there?
Well, for the first time in 2 years, house prices have started to accelerate quite rapidly here in Auckland. And there's signs elsewhere around the country. And there's some very interesting factors in that, one of which is that the volume of houses actually for sale continues to shrink. So this is a very small stock of houses that are actually being traded, which obviously puts a lot of pressure on prices. The fact that prices are going up, I suppose there's some measure of confidence by a few people that economic conditions are such, their personal circumstances, that they can afford to push ahead with higher prices.
Mm.
But very interestingly, the biggest gains are at the top end of the market rather than low end of the market. As we go into this election year, this is obviously going to intensify the political
yes.
pressures around the housing. Both parties are going to, Labour and National, are really going to be struggling in the election to give any kind of proposals or responses to voters that would be the least way plausible in terms of their ability to tackle this. Labour's doing is slightly better off in this circumstance because it's actually got its hands on the reins now, and we are seeing, for example, a huge upsurge in the building of apartments around Auckland.
Mm-hmm.
The recent data is that the consents for those outstripped single family homes, and that's a big shift in the market, which would be welcomed by people struggling to be able to get into the market.
Well, thank you so much for your time this morning, Rod. We are very pleased to have you back on The Breakfast Show this year, and we look forward to chatting to you again in a couple of weeks, I'm sure.
Yes, thank you. It's going to be another extraordinary year.
Probably an extraordinary decade, I would imagine.
yeah, absolutely. So anyway, lovely to be back and talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.
With